We're doing a Tanit, we're up to the second chapter, the fifth Mishnah. Take a place. Tanit Bet Hey. Maaseh. We had been discussing the order of additions in prayer on the fast day. We said that the Shemoneh Esrei consists of 24 blessings. And now we'll hear a story. The story is taking place in the mountaintop, the city of Tzipori. Maaseh, story happened that Bimei Rabbi Chalafta was in the days of Rabbi Chalafta. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, we know Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, one of the Asara Ruge Malchus. Shavar echad bifnei ateva, a person was a chazan. Vegamar ta bracha kula, he concluded the blessing of Re'ena, and he added Anenu, the way we learned last week. You're supposed to add that addition on the fast day. Ve'lo anoch harav amen, and people didn't answer amen. But rather they did like they would do in the temple, and they said Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed instead of saying Amen. And then,
wait, it's between Goel Israel and between the blessing of Goel Israel and
the blessing of Re'ena, Re'ena Ve'Onyenu V'River Aveinu. We said before he concludes that blessing, he adds the addition. That's the beginning of the previous Mishnah.
Right. Right, before Goel Israel.
He says, Aneinu Hashem Aneinu. So he reaches the end of that prayer, and then he concludes it. Toku Akonim Teko Mishon and Toku Akonim Teko. The Chazan would tell the Kohanim on each blessing to blow. Mi shana tavam vin bar moyahu yanetchem yishma b'kol tzakatchem hayom hazeh. The Shalich Tzibur told them, the way we learned previously, whoever answered Avram should answer you, hear your crying on these days, and then they're supposed to blow.
Who would say that?
Shalich Tzibur said it. That was the end of his blessing. At the end of each blessing, he'd say, whoever answered should answer you. We saw that in the last Mishnah. Now, each blessing, they'd finish the blessing, and instead of saying Amen, they'd answer Baruch Shem, and then the Chazan would call out to them, Hariu bnei Aaron Hariu. The Shamish would tell them all to blow trua. Mishana davteno al yamtzubi yanetchem yishmam kol tzakatchem hayom hazeh. They went on. What? Tzakchem. You're yelling.
Okay.
Tzaka. So he'd announce each time. He'd say, Tiko akonim tiko. Hari akonim hariu. Tiko akonim tiko. And then at the conclusion, After it all, then they'd blow Tkiya Shvarim, Tkiya Trua Tkiya. So, I'm sorry, Trua Tkiya Trua. Uchshiba Daval Tzil Chachamim, and when the rabbis heard about this, Amru, they said, Lo Einu Nagin Ken Ela B'Shal Mizrachu B'Har HaBayit. We didn't used to do this unless we were on the Temple Mount by the Eastern Gate. But on the Temple Mount, we didn't answer Amen. There, the one who gam Shemoneh Esrei would say God's hidden name. When he'd say God's hidden name, so then everyone would stand and say Baruch Shem. To say Baruch Shem outside the temple is improper. So their focus was on that. Even though the Mishnah, for some reason, records how the Chazan told them to blow shofar, but that wasn't the point they had with the way they did it. They took issue with the fact that they didn't answer Amen. the beginning of the Mishnah. Lo anu achrav amen. They didn't answer amen. They said Baruch Shem, and that they only did on the Temple Mount. Okay.
They did on the Temple Mount only in regards to when they
when he would say the blessings, the Shemona Esrei, on the Temple Mount. So then he'd say Hashem's hidden name. And once he said Hashem's hidden name, so then to that they would say Baruch Shem.
So that would replace the tetragrammaton.
That was the tetragrammaton. I mean, the people who heard them say the tetragrammaton, they'd say Baruch Shem.
Wait. I thought that only Kohanim were ever allowed to know that name.
Okay.
But if people were hearing it and they were responding to the plans, then that doesn't mean that like commoners would know it and then be like in the possible situation of pronouncing the name.
I guess it's not so easy to remember it. It's not as simple as we think it is. So we have on condition.
The 42 letters.
I think so.
No, but you just said it's the.
No, we don't. The only reason we can't say
that is
about. You said it was the 4-letter.
I know. Right. Listen to the name.
Wait, so
I thought they represented more than 4 letters. Represented more than those 4 letters. Because eventually we could say, we could figure out the vowel. It's not that
right, but you wouldn't know if they were saying the right one or not. And also, we don't know all the vowel pronunciations.
Supposing what they pronounce a lot more syllables within that koine, the masoret.
You gotta learn the Gemara in Sukkah. What do I know? I don't know any of this. Mishnah Vav. I don't know. What can I do? Gimel Taniyot HaRishonot. So they did, let's just summarize what we saw in this Mishnah. They did a reenactment of the temple. Ordinarily anyone could blow shofar, you don't need Kohanim. But they said, Tiko Kohanim Tiko, blow Kohanim blow. They said, you know, it's a fast day, people are losing weight, they're fasting, so they're going to have less fat and less blood. And that's like bringing a sacrifice. So this, we can do. We can replicate what they do at the temple and say Baruch Shem and tell the Kohanim to blow. And the rabbis didn't agree with the way they ran things here. Okay. Mishnah Vav. Gimel Taniyot HaRishonot. The first three fasts that Beis Din instituted for lack of rain, we have the people who are in charge of the temple that week, right? You have the 24 Mishmarot that were divided by King David. You had 24 watchings. So the Mishnah says, Anshei Mishmar, the people who were in charge of the watch of the temple, those Kohanim Mitanim, they would fast like everyone else. But they wouldn't finish off the fast. They'd break their fast early because they were working hard in the temple and they had to be with it. Now the people who their job was to actually work on the floor, they didn't fast altogether because they had to work. Meaning there were 24 watchings. Each watching had a week. And the week was divided within the watch to the batei avot, to the different families. So the people who were actually working didn't fast. The rest of the family who were there for the week but weren't working on that day, well, they were pinch hitters, they were backups. If they need extra help, they'd go on the floor and help them out. So the Anshei Mishmar, they would fast because they weren't necessarily working on that day. That wasn't their day. But being... thing that they had to be available to fill in, so they didn't complete their fast.
What was exactly that they did not conclude the fast?
To what they break their fast earlier.
What is meant?
So the Mishnah had said that the first three fasts that are instituted, if you recall, they had certain leniencies. So there the Mishnah said the people who are just backups in the Beit HaMikdash, they would fast, but they wouldn't complete their fast. The people who were actually working on the floor, they wouldn't fast at all. Shalosh shniot, the second set of three, Anshei Mishmar Mitaninu Mashlinimim. So then the people who are backups, they're the family that's there that week, but they're not serving that day. So they fast and they conclude the fast. They don't take any shortcuts. But the family that was on the floor working, so they would fast and they wouldn't complete the fast. They'd break their fast early. Sheva achonot, the last seven fasts, they were the most stringent. Elu ve'elu mitaninu mashlimin, both the Beit Av and the Mishmal. Everyone would complete the fast. Divrei Rabbi Yoshua, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya, one of the Rabbeim of Rabbi Akiva, one of the disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And there is a differing opinion, and this opinion was granted Chachamim status by Rabbi. Majority opinion according to Rabbi, right? It might be minority opinion, but Rabbi and his courts named them Chachamim. So now they have majority status.
He's one of the few people where even if he's in the minority, he still has to listen to them.
Rabbi Yeshua?
No, Rabbi Hanasi.
We're not talking about Rabbi Hanasi. The first opinion, Tanakama, the first opinion, the mission is Rabbi Yeshua. Chachamim say, Shalosh, Taniot Arishonot, Elve Lomi Ayum Tanin Klal. They are more lenient. They say the first three, both the Beit Av and the Mishmar, they don't fast altogether. Shalosh Niot, the second three, Anshe Mishmar, Mitanin Lomashlimin. Anshe Beit Av, Lo Ayum Mitanin Klal. The second set of three, they have, right? Monday, Thursday, Monday. The Anshe Mishmar, they would fast, but they break their fast early, and the Beit Av wouldn't fast altogether. Sheva Achonot, the last seven fasts, Anshe Mishmar Mitaninu Mashlimin, the people of the watch, the people who weren't necessarily on the floor, the backups, they'd fast completely, Anshe Beit Av Mitanin Vino Mashlimin, and the people who were working, the Anshe Beit Av, they would fast and complete their fast. So basically, right, one step down. Excellent. You got it.
So who are the two people that you always have to listen to, even if
they're Mishnah Zayin. I don't remember. I'm sorry. Anshei Mishmar mutarin lishtot yayin balelot. The people of the Mishmar, they could drink wine at night because they weren't necessarily on duty. Meaning they were backups. So if they drank, they just wouldn't serve. But by day, they couldn't drink because then they might be needed. Yeah, by night, who's going to need them? By day, well, they might be called upon. But the people who they were in charge, they were on the floor. They couldn't drink because at night they would finish bringing the different pieces of meat that were up on the altar and still needed to be burnt. So they worked during the night as well, so they couldn't drink. We just learned in our Rambam class, right? One of the biblical prohibitions that were said to Aaron, remember? Said directly to Aaron was the prohibition of serving after they had drunk wine. Anshei Mishmar v'anshei Mamad Asurim Milsaper u'Milchabes. The people of the week. That's Anshei Mishmar. What's Anshei Maimed? We'll explain that in a minute. They couldn't shave or launder, they couldn't take a haircut all week. Now, the idea was, the Torah says we have a sacrifice that's brought every morning and every night. Karbon tomi, lechabes is to launder. So, Chazal said, Hech korbano shel adam karev eino omed al gabav. How could a person's sacrifice be brought and he's not there? So Chazal, what they did is they divided the Jewish people into ma'amadot. Every family had their week where they were responsible to represent the Jewish people with the sacrifice. And what they do is, those that were close to Jerusalem, as we will learn later on, they would travel up to Jerusalem and be there as representatives of the Jewish people when the sacrifice was brought. Those that were not close to Jerusalem, they'd gather and pray over the Jewish people, and each day they would pray and fast and read the Torah portion about the creation of that day. Remember, the Korban Tomed is an eternal Korban. Every day of the year, including Yom Kippur, including Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, every day the Korban Tomed was brought, every morning and every night. The Korban Tomed represents a certain eternal, like the world, day after day after day. So we would be there. Some of the Jews would go up to the temple. Some of the Jews, those that lived further away, would pray over the Jewish people. And every person knew their family, their ma'amad. Now, Chazal wanted that when people had the responsibility of being at the temple serving, because it was their mishmar, they were kohanim, or they were Yisraelim and they were representing the Jewish people in the ma'amad, they should look respectable.
What do most people do? Just before Yom Tov, they rush to get a haircut. Why'd you wait until now? People always wait for the last minute. Chazal said, we are concerned if we let a person take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, what'll he do? He'll say, I'd rather go to the bakery, get another cake for Yom Tov. I'd rather go to the butcher shop, maybe I'll get better meat. He won't get his haircut. He'll say, I'll do it on Chol HaMoed. So the first Yom Tov, I won't look so good. I'll get a haircut and a shave on Chol HaMoed. So Chazal said, no haircuts or shaves on Chol HaMoed. This was to ensure that we take our haircuts, our shaves, do our laundry before Yom Tov. So we come into Yom Tov clean and haircut and face shape. The same thing, this concept really started with Anshei Mishmar and Anshei Maimad. Chazal said, you're representing the Jewish people, you're going to be doing service at the temple, you're going to be praying on their behalf. If you're Kohanim, you're doing the service. If you're Yisraelim, you're praying on their behalf, you're representing them. Look representable, look presentable. So Chazal said, no haircuts, no laundry during this week. This was to ensure that everyone would take their haircuts and do the laundry the week earlier. So that's what the Mishnah says. Anshei Mishmar v'anshei Ma'amad asurin milsaper ulmilchabes. They are prohibited from taking a haircut and doing the laundry during that week. Okay? Clear. Uva chamishi, but when Thursday comes, mutarim, then we permit it. Their week is over. It's the last day of the week. Make for the Shabbat. Out of honor for Shabbos, we say, let them do it so that they don't walk into Shabbos looking like that.
Wasn't it for a whole week? The mission?
Yeah.
So when would it start? In the Mishnah?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is referring to the Ma'amad. What is the Anshei Mishmar also?
I think both.
So during that week?
Yeah, most people would take their haircuts and stuff on Thursday. So during that week, on Thursday, we already let them go. But imagine, the guy has 1 week during the year or 2 weeks during the year, he goes up to the temple, he doesn't want to look unkempt during that week. So if he knows that he won't be able to take a haircut all week, that's enough to ensure that he'll take the haircut before the week. That was the goal. And the fact that he's allowed to do it at the end of the week, well, that doesn't weaken the institution.
What if you have certain temple responsibilities and you're in mourning?
Good question. A person in mourning cannot serve in the temple. Okay. The only exception is the Kohen Gadol.
Wouldn't the Kohen anyway have to shave completely when they were...
Chususi simut rashehim, you're talking about their heads? Their heads were very short. They had a short haircut.
Every month.
Kohen Gadol every day, a Kohen every month.
So anyway, before they came, they had the Mishnah.
I don't know.